Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And right now, let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. One of the reasons I think why this ending to the Texans football game was frustrating, in addition to the fact that obviously you've gone 4 weeks without scoring a touchdown in the second half and all those things, was that there were some other teams that, you know, are high atop the NFL, or at least thought of as such, that kind of snuck away at the end of games, and it felt like you could have been in that class, but unfortunately, you weren't. One of those being the San Francisco 49ers getting a 23-20 victory over the Buccaneers with a Jake Moody field goal late. And the reason why that was one of those getting away with it moments is because Jake Moody missed three other field goals
game.
Like
yes,
that,
he did.
Like, just incredible to think that you miss three field goals and then you get one at the end. The big news on this one, Christian McCaffrey back in the game. But Brock Purdy is the one who has a fantastic day, 25-36, 353 yards, rather, and a couple of touchdowns. Juwan Jennings is a guy who is really making a name for himself wide receiver-wise for them. Mm-hmm. He came in, it felt like early on, as kind of like a Brandon Ayuk, I guess, light.
Yeah.
He is finding a lot of success in that offense.
Purdy, every once in a while, you know, he'll have that game. And I shouldn't say every once in a while. He has a lot of them like that. But huge effort right there across the league. And you mentioned, you know, regarding the Texans, and we hadn't even mentioned, just occurred to me as you were talking, like every other team in the division lost. So you could have had like a four game lead.
Yeah, over the Colts
in the division.
Yeah,
and they're still going to win the division. But boy, you talk about that's just another level of not making it happen last night.
Yeah, but I think the comparison to some of the teams elsewhere is the bigger one. Is I think a lot of Texans fans have set their sights on can you compete amongst the best in the AFC? And the best in the AFC, by at least by records wise, is the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. They remain undefeated by defeating Denver on a blocked 35-yard field goal. And I am in a place where I'm absolutely calling them the getting away with it all-stars.
Well, are they lucky?
Yeah, they are. But I don't think luck has to be like I don't think luck has to be a pejorative. I think a lot of times people look at it and they say, "Oh, well, you're lucky," and as if to like wipe away any like good talent that's in there. I think luck is necessary if you want to become one of the best teams, if you want to win a Super Bowl. Like, we're talking about a single elimination tournament on the backside of this. You need a modicum of luck, especially in a sport that really mangles bodies. You need some health luck and all those types of things, right?
Yeah.
How much health luck would have helped last night if Nico Collins is available to go as opposed to not, right? Like, some luck helps a good amount. And also it helps if you just happen to get a block on a 35-yard field goal that's usually a chippy to give yourself a win versus Denver.
But see, you know, I get that, and I largely agree. You know, there's a lot of luck involved. But boy, when you're that good and you consistently get, you know, these close wins. I mean, what is it, like four or five of their wins?
Well, I take you.
Yeah.
Week one.
That's not luck.
27-20 win over Baltimore, yeah, where Isaiah likely catches what would have been a game-tying touchdown, but his foot was just out of bounds.
Should have worn one white shoe.
That's right. Week two.
It was a size 7.
Should have worn white shoes.
Week two. Yeah. There was a very weird pass interference call, mm-hmm, that continued the final drive and led them to a Harrison Butker game-winning field goal against the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if I missed some other ones, but week 9, mm-hmm, the Bucks kick a field goal instead of a two-point conversion that sends it to overtime, and the Chiefs ultimately win it in overtime. And the Chiefs, they've had some opportunities to maybe let go of some games and some tight ones, but they find the way to win.
I just feel it's dangerous to say they were lucky. Because they...
What's the danger?
Well, those three you said...
Well, I shouldn't say dangerous.
Those three you said, I don't consider that luck.
Okay. Yeah.
But the one yesterday, that was luck. Because I wasn't even watching. I was watching most of it, but I had to do something around that time. So I looked on my phone. I seen it was
like, what?
It was 1 second left. Denver had the ball in field goal territory. I'm like, oh, this is over. This is over. I'm going to look back in a couple minutes. And no more undefeated Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how did they win that game? I'm like, what in the world happened?
Well,
that was luck.
This reminded me of what was a couple years ago when TCU ultimately went to the national championship game and lost. Mm-hmm. But that season, they did a lot of these getting away with it. And yeah, like, look, man, ultimately,
like Cinderella wins.
Yeah, you get away with it, you get away with it, man. They don't ask you how you got the W, you ultimately get the W. But this is one of those things about the Chiefs team where I think if you slap a different logo on them and they are not the team that has won three or that is trying to win three championships in 4 years, we talk about it a little bit different.
Yeah.
But hey, man, they've got a great defense and they have Patrick Mahomes, and what else do you want, right?
Yeah, I mean, they make it happen is my point. Somehow the great teams always get lucky.
Yeah, and that's a scary team too, man, because if they in it, if they have any chance, they will probably win.
Oh, if they're in the Super Bowl, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like, if they got any time left and they got the ball, they will probably
win.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
All right, elsewhere around the NFL, a place where they're not making it happen at all is Arlington, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys, where after this game, where they get handled very well by the Eagles. Now, I think at halftime it was 7-6, it was kind of tight, and then mm-hmm, this thing opened all the way up. Micah Parsons in his return, I think, he returned after missing a month due to a high ankle sprain. He was asked about Mike McCarthy, right? That is the context by Jory Epstein of Yahoo Sports, asked about kind of like, hey, Mike McCarthy, final year, does that kind of, you know, I guess, I don't want to butcher it, but kind of motivate it all or whatever. And Mike said, quote, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. The guys I feel bad for are guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You want to win games and do great things with those types of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. Those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for. Close quote.
He can go wherever he wants.
And what's funny is the part of that first part, I actually understand what he's going for, right?
Yeah, like, too.
Look, man, you talking about the coach. Like, all right, man. Yeah. As a coach, you don't got a limited playing time.
He could get a job somewhere else.
He could keep kicking it as long as he wants to kick it, right? Bill Belichick out here is still trying to kick it. You saw Pete Carroll doing it for a very long time.
No, I get it.
Right?
But that's a dead man walking right there.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
That's a locker room that is not only has he lost the locker room, That's 53 players, 53 calves.
They know it's
like,
over.
The part
that's really nasty about it is the back part where he says, you want to win games and do things for those types of legends who have put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Are we doing the thing where we harken back to when Mike McCarthy was in Green Bay getting the massages and stuff?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening there?
Yeah. I mean, that is, it's so over. Oh, by the way, Texans' next opponent. Texans next opponent.
I don't know if I feel good about that, to be honest.
Oh, what?
I'm a little.
They're a mess.
You're that down.
I'm just a little worried, man. I ain't gonna sit here and say, "Yep, we ain't got nothing to worry about."
The Texans.
I'm just a little worried.
The Texans are not what we thought they were, but they're not an absolute bleep show like that. They're not just an absolute mess.
To that point, CeeDee Lamb.
The dog ate his homework.
I guess. You're blaming CeeDee Lamb here?
No, I'm not.
Oh, yeah, CeeDee Lamb drops a pass in the course of this game because AT&T Stadium is situated, unlike many stadiums, where they actually consider where the sun is, and they kind of usually line up the sun with one of the sidelines.
Yeah.
That's an outdoor stadium, but it's an indoor stadium.
But this is on the end.
But on the end, and they have glass windows on the ends, so the light shines in during these late afternoon games. And at least once a year, you get somebody who has sun in their eyes, and it affects the play, and then everybody goes to Jerry Jones and asks him, why don't you put up the curtains that you actually
have?
Which
he has.
And this time, Jerry Jones, as being the quaint folksy dude that he is, he was like, what do you want me to do, rebuild the stadium?
Look, man, this is all on Jerry Jones. I was just having fun with CeeDee Lamb and the dog eating his homework. He lost the ball directly in the sun. He had no clue it was coming. But here's the thing, and you touched on it. The Cowboys have those blackout curtains. They use them for high school games, college games, and concerts.
Yes.
The reason Jerry Jones doesn't use them for his team's games is because of television. He wants that glass look. He wants that cool stadium vibe and all this other stuff. Well, this is what happens, man. Like, this is what happens when you prioritize, you know, the view on national television and your big toy Jerry World and all this other stuff. He prioritized that over potentially the product on the field. And it's on Jerry.
Well, it's a Monday night game next week, so you're not going to get the benefit or the downside of that kind of sun. But you will get the benefit of an organization that is reeling in the Dallas
Cowboys. A mess.
Yeah, absolute mess. Mind you, they went with Cooper Rush, who's their backup quarterback, one of those guys who's just like, he doesn't mess up, I guess, but he's not somebody that brings something extra. That team is not necessarily situated to get some extra. Trey Lance is on their roster. They traded a fifth-round pick for him. They are not utilizing him. Mike McCarthy did the funniest thing where he brought in Trey Lance for a couple of like zone reads and then put him back on the shelf until later in the game. They are a very unserious franchise.
What do you think the score should be next week?
Oh, the Cowboys are getting run off the field.
Yeah, what do you think it should be?
It should be a
complete assing.
38 to 10?
Yeah, I was like, it should be in the 30s. Okay. The Texans should score 30-plus points.
If it's not...
we'll get there.
That's the part I'm worried about. I know we'll get there, but that's the part I'm worried about, man. I don't want to be too close to call.
Yeah.
Elsewhere around the NFL, the NFL announced that it will have 8 international games in the 2025 season.
All right. I would bet anything. I would not bet the house because I need a roof over my head, but I would bet a lot that the Texans are playing an international game next year. Like 100% chance the Texans are playing an international game next year. And you ask why? I'll tell you why. They were going to play one this year. We had reports about the Vikings game. The Texans playing the Vikings in London, I guess, is where it ended up being. But apparently there was a behind-the-scenes compromise. Hey, if we play in the Hall of Fame game, we don't want to go to London. I heard. All right? I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
I heard.
All right.
And also, the Texans have not played in Europe since 2019. So, number one, they're due. Number two, they were going to play this year, but there was a wink-wink happening because they played in the Hall of Fame game. And number three, 8 games. like eight
There's
games
a lot of them.
Overseas.
It's a very high chance.
Book your flight now. We don't know where they're going to go, but save your money. The Texans are playing in Europe next year.
That's a stone cold lock.
Lock it up.
I did
Stone Cold like that Nico Collins
lock
plan.
It up. Well, I didn't do the injury report. That was someone else.
You remember on Friday when I was like, well, he might. And you were like, no, he will. I was trying to help you. I was trying. Oh, speaking of helping, I forgot to add this in with the idea you were talking about that Cowboys game. Texans opened up as 6.5-point favorites.
They should be favored by 16.
Man, don't do that.
I'm kidding.
I'm about to say no.
I don't think you are. And I'm like, I feel like you should realize that you're a jinx at this point. So let's use that to the benefit. How about you operate?
Okay, raise your hand if you think the Texans should win by less than 10 points. I don't see any hands.
They should.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Stop saying that out loud. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's Around the NFL, brought to you by Quick Assist. Coming up next, I do want to talk about a little bit about this. A couple of plays late in this game. There was a Amon-Ra St. Brown first down that kept the chains moving. That I think a lot of people were wondering how do you end up with the matchup that you do. And is nobody going to talk about the time that Terrion Arnold should have gotten another pass interference? Let's talk about those next.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Third and six at the Houston 48. Here's the snap to Goff. Goff with time over the middle. Got a man, St. Brown, and he's down to the 37-yard line, tagged by Aziz with 1:33 to go.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That was a crucial, critical third down on that very last drive for the Lions. Allowed them to keep the drive going and ultimately allowed Jake Bates to knock down a big-time game
winning field goal. Former Texan, right?
He was in camp last year.
Yeah. Knocks down a field goal and wins the game for the Detroit Lions 26-23. But on that play, and I believe that this is one, but there might be another one that some folks are talking about. I heard a lot of people saying, how in the you know what?
You heard me saying it.
Oh, it was you. That's right. So I heard John Lopez saying, how in the you know what?
Yeah.
Do you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, probably the most dangerous wide receiver that team has, lined up on a linebacker, Aziz Al-Shaair, right? Aziz probably, I think I would position him as the best coverage linebacker that you have.
Certainly the fastest, you know, still, in that environment.
But still, on a linebacker nonetheless.
You don't win against Amon-Ra St. Brown.
We were looking at this a couple breaks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I went, pulled it up. And one of the things, first of all, that I remembered and that was front of mind for me is this is where the lack of depth cornerback-wise shows up. In that game, remember, Kamari Lassiter leaves with a concussion. And at that point, I turned to Patrick Creighton and Sean Bajani at Area 45. You'll hear them tomorrow because we got Monday Night Football tonight on Sports Radio 610. But I turned to them fine fellas and I was like, so who comes in now for cornerback? Yeah. And I pull up that sheet that got all the names on and I'm like, I believe it's Kadar Holman.
It was.
And Kadar Holman is who comes in. But then you think about it, and outside of that, who do you have to cover? Like, you don't have a dime package.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have, it was four wide. Right? Actually, it might have been empty in that situation, but it was three to that side.
Yeah.
Where the outside receiver is being covered by Stingley. The second receiver in is being covered by Jalen Petrie, who you already have some level of, I don't know, concerns about when it comes to coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And then that third receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot, is being covered up by Aziz Al-Shaair. And then it's a well-worked play as well. And so that one, it felt like, okay, I understand this shows up because of a lack of depth, but then also this was just a fantastic play by the other offense coordinator and Ben Johnson recognizing what is happening with the personnel of the Houston Texans and drawing up a play with the positioning and with the route combination that creates a giant gap and an easy throw for Jared Goff to continue to move the sticks in a very vital point. And that was something that was very evident in that game, that Ben Johnson was doing that at a high level and then Bobby Sloak was.
Look, you have to recognize, and you can't ignore and minimize, as you put it, the Texans just didn't have the bodies, man. They just didn't have the bodies to cover that type of thing. But that being said, Amon-Ra St. Brown is the one that ends up on a linebacker? That's how you adapt. In a third, in a must, will say it in football. Gotta have it moment. You end up with Al Shire. Now, first of all, credit to Ben Johnson, because somehow, some way, they manipulated in such a way where it was Al Shire. How, though, is still my question. How does that happen is still my question. You know, because I get it. And by the way, I didn't get to this one on the passing thoughts. I thought that was Jalen Petrie's greatest game of his career. That was the best game of his career. Running, pressure, tipped the ball for the interception, decent coverage. That was the best game. So he's having the best game of his life. How does it end up that with all these options, it's a linebacker on their best receiver, on the best receiver on the field?
I think the combination, as I put forward, a combination of limited personnel is one of those things that we were talking about. Cornerback room, man, not having that depth. Mm-hmm. Limited personnel. And some of the depth issues also. Don't forget, Jeff Okudah, who was activated from IR this time last week, mm-hmm. was ruled out on Saturday, and then he's not there. That's one of the cornerbacks that you would have had available to you to maybe utilize in that situation. And maybe not, right? Because I don't know that we've seen this Texans team defensively mm-hmm. want to use a lot of these additional cornerbacks. But you would have at least had the option of having an extra cornerback. Then you lose Kamari. I think you didn't have, the personnel. And then in addition to it, I think it was just great scheme by the Lions there. And you mentioned Jalen Petrie. So you want to do a little who hooped real quick? Because I think there were some players that absolutely deserved a level of shout out
there was some
when it
hoopers.
Comes to the play. And we can start with Jalen Petrie. Like, I just keep coming back to if he was a linebacker, if he had maybe another 10, 15 pounds, 20 pounds, was a linebacker, he'd be a real good one. Because when he can play downhill, he is so good.
He was, again, I thought that was his best game. I thought even in coverage, especially in the first half, he was really helping. But his instincts pressuring, coming off the edge, rattling Jared Goff. And the Lions came through and obviously won the game and had some moments in the second half. Jared Goff still only completed 50% of his passes. And so that was Petrie in large part with the pressure, with the coverage. He absolutely redeemed himself for anything. I mean, he's found a place on this squad. And especially against run-heavy teams, that's when he really eats. Against a team like the Lions, Petrie, that's perfect for Petrie. He's a guy that can do that. I thought, as much as we're talking about, Al Shire and how did that happen, that wasn't his fault. He got put in that position. I thought he hooped. I thought he was playing his ass off for the most part.
Yeah, you absolutely saw what Azeez Alshire brings mm-hmm. in his return to this team, man. Like, coming downhill, there was one of those plays where I think it was Jahmyr Gibbs. He's lined up in he's linebacker. Across the line mm-hmm. is Jahmyr Gibbs in that single back formation. And they go wide to the left, right, the Lions do. And he matches that man step for step, meets him at the sideline and for a tackle.
One-yard gain, right?
If that. And I'm just like, dude, the explosion, the ability to read and react, Azeez Alshire is just like, that's the reason you brought him in. You see it. It's very evident. And I think that I think that you could see early on in this game, the entirety of the defense deserves a level of credit for this because you could see the message was landing.
Yeah.
Remember, what was the big thing that D'Amico Ryans talked about after last week in leading up to it was tackling. Mm-hmm. And you could tell, especially when it comes to his baby on the defense, when there's something that is a point of emphasis, man, it lands, and I have a strong feeling that Azeez is one of the reasons that it helps land because that dude is the soul of that defense, and they all respect him so much. And I think that's why you saw that first half, the defense looked lights out in stifling the Lions defense. So I didn't want to give Azeez a lot of love.
Anybody else? I got a couple.
Okay, go for it.
The ball finds Kalen Bullock.
Yeah.
He didn't play a lot. He was only in on like 60% of the defensive snaps. Because it was one of those...
I don't even think I checked the snap count.
Because it was one of those against the Lions who are going to try to pound the ball on you. It was more of a Jalen Petrie game than a Kalen Bullock game. But he did come in passing situations and snagged one of those five interceptions. I shouldn't necessarily say the ball finds Kalen Bullock. It kind of found everybody last night. but he just always seems to make a play.
Yeah, because Kamari had two of them himself. Yeah. Like, and Kamari deserved a level of credit. And again, I think that there was a level of drop down But funny enough, there was a level of drop down in the ability to stop the run when Kamari Lassiter was all out of the game. So I don't know how much of that was like causation. I don't want to go that far. But
like Fatakasi being out of the game affected
that's also,
that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Let's see. Who else did you want to
John
show
John
Metchie,
man.
To?
Let's not bury the lead here.
I was waiting for you to call his
name,
that
Dell stock is, boy, I could have made a mint.
Business is booming.
I could have made a mint. Business is not booming. It's the exact opposite of booming. Yeah,
well, for you.
The moment that I'm like, all right, it ain't going to happen with John Metchie. Looks like freaking, who did he look like last night? What's a good example? He was, you know, just inside, outside, yards after catch.
Yeah.
First touchdown of his career.
Yes, first touchdown of his career.
Of his career, really.
Of his career. Yes, sir.
Hey, yes. And a hell of a catch at that. I mean, that could have easily been like knocked away. I mean, there was four hands on the ball there.
Twitch posits look like Tyler Lockett, maybe. In that game, John Metchie. And that was one of the things that I also enjoyed. Like, a lot of separation for Metchie, right? Metchie, Dell had some good separation. Although, at one point in the game, I was sitting next to Sean Bajani, who I know used to coach wide receivers at one point in his, you know, high school coaching days. He pointed to Xavier Hutchinson, who did not have as much separation. There was one of those plays where it was kind of over the middle, right? He was over the middle. It was like one of those kind of skinny post type situations. And he doesn't, you know, he rounds the route out and it's able to kind of be undercut. And it's like, hey, man, that route wasn't clean. And I need to go back and see just how many of these routes were clean, particularly Hutchinson, Dell, Metchie, kind of look at all those. Because I have a sneaking suspicion that Metchie's running some good routes.
Yeah.
And that absolutely helped out with all of this. But, I mean, you saw a level of familiarity with Metchie and C.J. Stroud that was real comforting early on.
Also had a, you know, it's easy to say when you see him with the yards after catch, but still, there was a burst there that, you know, I was like, okay, all right. He flat out balled. I thought he was the best.
It seemed like it was a level of trust C.J. ended up getting with Metchie, too.
100%.
It's just like, okay, he's looking for Metchie now.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Jared Patterson, the man who we were anticipating would come back and save the offensive line? Even though I know D'Amico Ryan says like no one player's coming in to save, right? You have to come through and handle your assignments and play better. But Jared Patterson early on in this game handling the center duties with the little shuffle sending Juice Scrubs to left guard.
Yeah,
it felt like they're. And I don't know, maybe this is just one of those things where you perceive it to be the case because you're looking for it. But it did feel like they picked up a lot more of the blitzes and those types of things in this game with Jared Patterson kind of calling these things out at center. I do wonder if that is the step up that was necessary in trying to get the communication right for this offensive line.
I'm sure you can see it in my face. I'm sort of like pausing on
that. Yeah, you look like you need to use the restroom.
No, I'm good. Okay. Well, let me make sure. Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
No, I'm pausing on that because I feel like much like the Larry and Stafford call, we're kind of grading on a curve here because, you know, yes, altogether, you have to say that was a good move, especially in the first half. But, dude, McNeil, 8. Like, 8. That was another dude that was just a monster.
He was just greedy at this point.
That was just, 5 solo tackles, 2 tackles for loss, a sack, another quarterback hit, 6 assists. And that's right over Jared Patterson and Juice Scruggs.
Hey, I'm never this type of person. I was actually happy when he got hurt. Goodness gracious.
So you see what I'm saying? We're kind of like, yes, but we're really grading on a curve with that.
Now, I did mention Hutchinson, but Did you also kind of like just slide away from that third down that they tried to convert to Hutchinson over the middle that Terry and Arnold, who had already had a pass interference, he had a majority of the penalty yards that the Lions had off that one big pass interference where he just panicked. It seemed like he had another panic moment that did not get called. Like, did that irk you or did that just feel like
I think
one of those
Anzalone
things
saved
where,
his ass. I think the fact that Anzalone came through and knocked the ball. Is like almost
before it got there.
Like almost everything after that was inconsequential. And by the way, you know, the Texans got away with a club to the face on Jared Goff as well.
Yeah,
that should have been a penalty. So we can talk about. I don't want to do that. Yeah, we can talk. I think Anzalone getting that ball was like, all right, great play. That's what the referee saw. You know?
And it did not feel like a great... I felt like CJ held it a little long if he was going to try and fit it into that window, which it did not feel like that was one that was going to make. As you mentioned, Anzalone got in there and was able to break it up fairly handily, to be completely
great
honest.
Yeah.
It felt like in a game like that where you had such a commanding lead, a 16-point lead at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it should not be that we're calling out, oh, well, you missed a play or a pass interference, rather, and that's the reason why you lost.
Totally
I'm not going to go that far by any stretch of the imagination. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You want to go to this phone call here?
Yeah, let's go real quick.
All right, Hector on the phone line. What's happening, man?
Yes, good morning. Listen, why is no one asking the question why DeMeco didn't go for it on fourth down? You know, had he even made that field goal, which I knew he wasn't going to make, it was too far. The consistency is not there with him. But there would have been too much time. He would have been in the exact same position. That's an area where DeMeco failed us there. He should have just gone over Bobby Slowick or whoever called those plays and said, look, we're going for it. And the reason why? The Detroit Lions coach would have done the exact same thing. He would have gone for it, given the same situation.
No, I thought we have mentioned it.
But yeah, we can mention it again. Appreciate
you about it again. I think that's valid, if for no other reason than his point about if you don't get it, they're still getting the ball there.
Same spot.
Yeah.
Same spot.
And that offense was rolling. I would understand that the offense wasn't really doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
and the field goal would be just fine, but that offense was rolling.
No, that's
man.
A fair
they wouldn't have went down and got a touchdown.
That's more than fair. But I still think, and it maybe speaks to your point, they're like, hey, we trust. We trust Kaimi.
It's a lot of trust.
We trust Kaimi. Maybe too much at this
58,
point.
58, it's a lot. And the execution on that particular field goal was a little off. I know that Weeks had...
How about Weeks with a high snap?
Man,
what's going on?
I didn't even know that it was high. Hey, it was high.
It wasn't necessarily too high. It was up.
I didn't want to bring this.
Yeah. I didn't
come
either.
On, but I mean, I think the play kind of, I mean, you know, the ball gets down. And then I do wonder if, you know, kind of just seeing the execution kind of be a little off put Kaim in a place where that allowed him to hook it because he was just coming in at the wrong angle. But I can't speak enough to that execution to be able to get to all those
things.
I'm
not blaming John Weeks, man. I'm blaming Kaim on this one.
Look, I'm looking at it right now. It was over Townsend's head. He had to go over his head to catch it and bring it down. Watch the snap.
It's in towards his chest, I think. But yeah, still.
Hey, we're just being apologetic.
Damn, still.
We're apologizing.
Nah, ain't doing that.
No, I love the man. And I didn't. It hurts me, Figgy. It hurts me more than it hurts
you.
And
why you bring it up, man?
Because it was a high snap.
A lot of people do high snaps and still make field goals.
Figgy's just going down.
Nah, man, we ain't
He's going
doing
down
this.
With the ship.
Yeah, we
it was.
Ain't doing
look
this.
At it. Watch the replay. It was up here.
It's a bunch of people that make high snaps and make a field goal,
he's
man.
I think he's gonna
spike. He's like, it don't matter. You got one job. You a kicker.
Take John Weeks.
You want to ground
take John Weeks' name out of your mouth.
I think maybe the biggest indictment for me is that you get a fourth and four yards in a situation like that where Hector is right. It probably behooves you to go for it. And I don't know how confident I was that they would pick up that four. Especially knowing that they couldn't run the football at all.
I mean,
and at that point, CJ Stroud was almost guaranteed to be pressured.
Yes.
Like, those are the things that are really disheartening. It's not just the idea that they didn't go, but I don't know how much confidence I had. In fact, let us know. 713-572-4610 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Real quick, just you could give us a yes or a no. What did you have belief that if the Texans had gone for it on that 4th-and-4 that they would have gotten it? All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the Rockets getting a victory over Detroit on a Sunday. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get into what's popping on a Reaction Monday. Now, your Texans did fall to the Lions, so there was one loss to Detroit, and I think at one point somebody had the audacity to say that's three straight Detroit wins in Houston, because also they went back to the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you dirty. Anyways,
y'all bringing up old
they
stuff.
They brought that up.
Just you.
The past is the past.
I thought of bad words.
We looking forward.
I thought of bad words is all I want to
say. Okay,
DeMeco. However, one Houston team did what needed to be done in getting a victory over Detroit, and it was the Houston Rockets getting a 101-99 victory over the Detroit Pistons on a Sunday. And in the course of this, Alperen Şengün found a little bit of a glory in this.
He's in again.
27 points, 10 rebounds in the course of this one. Only had 27 minutes though. Mm-hmm. Did not go like too far into that. I know some people are like, "Yo, get the man more minutes." But I think that was the first night of it back. They'll play again tonight. Mm-hmm. Here, and they'll play against the Wizards tonight as well. But yes, Alperen put up some points in this one. Tari Eason, another nice game, 18 and 9. However, Jalen Green, who, you know, all right, 6 of 17, nothing great, 15 points. The big thing about it, though, is that he got what he came for.
Oh, he got finally, the yam.
Finally punched on Kay Cunningham.
Yeah. And then Thompson this time with a defensive play. Now finds Jalen Green.
Oh, my goodness!
He did it!
Why they got to sound like it's WWE and they watching a wrestling match, man?
It was nasty. He got him bad. And he knew it got him bad because he hit it.
He looked
and
right
then
at
he looked, not just looked right, he stared him down.
Yeah, he did.
He yelled.
I've been waiting for this since high school.
He really has. Like, there's video of Kay Cunningham, like, giving touching him a tap face on the chin or whatever. Literal tap, not like a tap on the chin like getting punched.
Yeah.
But gave him a literal tap on the chin.
Yeah,
you can tell that man from Fresno wanted his get back for a long time. And finally, on November 10th, 2024, he was able to get it back.
He became a man.
He's got a child now. I feel like he became a man a little earlier.
He got a child, but last night he became a man.
What's so funny is, like, this was, like, legitimately really important to him.
Yes.
Like, it was really legitimately, like Figgy said, okay, now I'm a man. Now
you're a man. Now, I know you've been messing around with Drea. Yeah. You had a baby, but now you're a man.
Now you are.
But yeah, I mean, a 2-point victory over the Pistons, that's not a great team, but you get a win, and on the first night of back-to-back, and another team that is kind of unserious, the Washington Wizards, come into town. And so we'll see what they look like. Reed Shepard got a nice little 11 minutes there, knocked down 1-3, was 1-3.
They weren't really good from 3-point range, which one of the reasons that it was a struggle, but hey, man, got the win, got the jam.
Yeah, those are the main things. Yeah. In the course of this, that's it. Some other things around the NFL, and what's popping. Another basketball game for Houston happened. What was this, Friday? Or no, Saturday night. Saturday night. In what is like the Mattress Firm. I don't know the whole name. It's long, but it is a little tournament, early season tournament that they have, including Houston, Rice, and in this instance, Auburn got involved there. Houston played against Auburn. And supposedly, this was a high-level game that happens at Toyota Center on Saturday between these two teams. Unfortunately, Auburn wins, but that wasn't the real story of the weekend for Auburn now, was it?
No, it wasn't. So they're minding their own business, flying to Houston. All hell breaks out on the airplane to the point that they have to turn around. The captain says, uh-uh, we ain't doing it. There's a lot of foolishness going on. So two players, at least two, but two players were they had to reroute the airplane back home because of some sort of fight on the airplane. Land it, leave those two players there. I can't believe they flew back over here, play the game, and end up beating Houston. But how bad does it have to be?
Well, also, did Auburn chartered a small plane because the pilot felt the fact that they were fighting in order to turn this thing around. Hey, man, I don't like this at all. Like, how mad do you got to be to fight somebody on a plane, though?
Yeah.
Right? Nah. Like, I know, some, you know, especially when you're a college athlete nowadays traversing the contiguous United States, right? They're on a lot of flights, and maybe they're just super comfortable flying. But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like all of our beefs are to be handled on land. Upon landing, we can fight. But while we're in this air, we do not want to create any additional turbulence.
I don't even want to walk on the plane, let alone fight. And argue?
And I'll say this again. How bad did it have to be? Where the team couldn't control it? You know, the pilot said, screw this. We're turning around. Like your parents, I'll turn this bird around.
I remember them school bus days.
Yeah.
Where you on the bus, somebody acting a fool. All right, we pulling over. We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Can I add to the complexity of this weird story? The incident, as is reported by CBS Sports, involved freshman forward, Ja'Kai Howard. I hope I said that name right. I might not have. And senior forward, Jaheim Hudson. Mm-hmm. You had a senior and a freshman fighting?
Yeah.
The audacity.
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
This was, I mean, what? And what's their future with the squad now? No. They had a flight turnaround?
Yeah.
Like, how's that going to play out? Yeah.
I have no idea. But, yeah, a little disheartening that they ultimately won that game. But apparently, wouldn't say it's like a tournament style or playoff, you know, like tournament elevation level game, I guess, whatever. But our boss, Parker Hillis, was out there, and he was saying that high-level basketball from both these two teams. Bruce Pearl, Kelvin Sampson have these guys playing good basketball. Unfortunately, the Houston loses. I heard a lot of post-up type stuff happening with the Cougs. We'll see what they look like as they continue on through the season. But just a funny thing that happened there in hoops. And one more hoop thing that I thought was interesting. Chet Holmgren of the Oklahoma City Thunder, team that your Rockets just recently played. He is set to miss 8 to 10 weeks with an injury, which we're seeing a few of these in basketball, as Paolo Banchero also missing a similar length
of
time.
Them, right? But
yeah, Chet has a pelvic fracture. The reason why I bring this up is that's one of the teams in the West that is supposed to be up there in a big way. And
they are.
I mean, yes, they are, absolutely. Right? Like, they've been very good thus far. I do wonder what that shifts for the Thunder, and I don't think the Thunder are going to be in such a bad way without Chet that they're like,
yeah, but he was balling,
falling
man.
Far, but
he was playing.
That adds more uncertainty into a West that's kind of uncertain, for lack of a better term. There are a lot of good teams in the West, but some teams have gone now to like kind of slow starts. In the West, to the point where, hey, you might be able to, there might be some interesting things shaking up once we get near the midway point of the season. The Mavericks have started slow as well. I know that's happening there. Let me see. I think the Lakers have had kind of their issues early. So, like, this could be an interesting go of it in the West, as the Rockets are currently situated 6-4, tied with the Lakers for 6.
But Jokic kind of reminded everybody, too, over the weekend. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm pretty damn good.
He is. He is still here.
It is crazy how he's playing right now. How about this? Averaging 29.7 points, 13.7 rebounds, 11.7 assists.
That's cute.
He's still keeping it cute.
That's cool. But
yes, it is. It's pretty dang cool.
Not too bad.
Not too bad at all.
We'll account of some hoops and what's popping right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. It is, again, it's Veterans Day.
I
don't think I made note of that just yet. So salute to all those people that have served these United States on this Veterans Day. We appreciate you in Loop. All right, coming up next. It feels evident that there's a Bobby Slowick problem. Bobby Slowick's name comes up as soon as you start talking about this team and where they need to be and where they are not. Let's talk through the problem and possibly see if we can fix it. We'll talk about it next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.